GAA on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, it was about 2.5 weeks ago or so that our next guest had just kicked a very important score against Galway in the Connacht Championship, and then disaster struck. A seemingly innocuous coming together resulted in a really horrific injury, and not one that we see often in GAA or most sports, thankfully. And we're very happy to say that Mayo's Tom Parsons has joined us. Tom, a question I dare say you've been asked a lot lately. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. I suppose at the moment I'm outside. I'm on my recliner. I have an ice machine strapped to my leg and a fresh cup of coffee, and I'm soaking in a few rays. So I'm good. I'm good at the moment. But yeah, it's been a tough 2 weeks.
In pure medical terms, what's the diagnosis? What did you actually do to yourself when you had time to assess the damage?
Yeah, so medically, and I won't go into it in too much detail, but essentially, if everyone has four ligaments in their leg, and I've ruptured three of the four, and I've torn the fourth, so ruptured the ACL, the PCL, the LCL, and then tears in the MCL. And then you have another strong muscle coming up from the calf called the popliteus, and that has came off the bone as well. And then I've tears to my calf and my hamstring, but everything else in the knee is fine, Joe.
So yeah, well, three of four ruptured, and the other one, the fourth one torn, that's the full house, really. That's as bad as it gets. How rare or otherwise is that kind of injury in football? You certainly don't see it commonplace, obviously. The surgeons, is he seeing lots of Tom Parson types coming in?
Yeah, no, it's a really rare injury, I suppose. Even trying to find case studies is so hard, and there might be two or three of these injuries a year, and I suppose most of the times are probably trauma injuries or bike or car accident injuries. So it is difficult that you get the combination of ligaments and the severity of the injury in a game, especially in a GA game. I mean, I can't recall too many games where there's been, you know, really severe injuries, but I suppose I have found some case studies in some rugby players that I've talked to, and you know, I suppose with the low tackling and the rucks, it might be a bit more common there, but not many athletes, I suppose, get this injury, so it is quite a rare injury, but it has happened, Joe, and I have some case studies of guys who have had a similar injury and has returned, so that gives you great confidence.
And what's the prognosis for those guys when they come back, or how long does it take for them to come back generally?
Well, I suppose every injury is different, and every injury is unique, because it's always a different mechanism or a different force, and there's always slight variations. But, you know, like, I suppose professional athletes can come back within 12 months or a little bit after 12 months, 15 months, you know.
Right.
But that takes, with that, it's, you know, talking to two guys I've spoken to. One guy plays with his own masters and has played with Connacht, a fantastic guy, and he's given me loads of words of wisdom. You know, I think he was 12 or 13 months. But again, he was different to me. And the other guy is a South African rugby player, John de Villiers, actually. He was up on, I think, 9 months or 10 months. But again, you know, it's very different if you're using artificial ligaments or you're using your own ligaments or donor ligaments, and whether you do it in one go or two goes. So every injury is unique. So I've been told not to try and benchmark my injury off anybody else's, because yes, they are so different.
I read you had one surgery in Santry already, and the plan is to have a second surgery later in the year.
Yeah. So I had one last Saturday in Santry, and I suppose going into it, I was half hoping maybe we could nail all of it, but as it transpired, we were able to do half, and it might be 10 or 12 weeks. We're looking at 3 months, but I can go in and do the rest of it. So that is a frustrating bit, because I suppose I'm going to be 3 months now and non-weight bearing and in a brace and in crutches for the most part, and building up that knee to go in and do more surgery again. So
right,
it will be the first four and a half months will be just straight, you know. Yeah. I know then after that, hopefully, if the next surgery goes well, that once I'm back on my feet and I can get back and start doing, you know, walking and real exercises, that, you know, mentally that will be Huge. That would be good, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. So when you say half, is it just a case that they could only sort out two of the four ligaments, or is it more complicated than that?
Yeah, a little bit more complicated than that. But yeah, essentially that's it, you know? I mean, I have two deep ligaments, the ACL and the PCL, that you can't do without the inflammation being completely gone. And as well as the work that they've done initially, you know, they want to need to strengthen up those and get those repaired so that you're not trying to rehab everything. And you can keep some sort of mobility and keep stiffness out of the knee. So I'll certainly just trust the experts. And I definitely have fantastic people on board, fantastic surgeon on board, fantastic medical team. And I'm lucky my wife is a physiotherapist as well. So I'll be taking all her advice and team's advice on board because, you know, yourself, athletes can be, especially with this injury, you can get caught into trying to do too much, which is detrimental. Mm. And you really need to just follow the process and protocols. And that is the advice I'm getting to date.
Right. So the rugby players you've talked to and various people you've spoken to maybe gave you that advice. Have they come through it, Tom? Are they back playing in the main?
Yeah, they are. Owners back playing competitively. And the other guy, John, is retired, but he came back to play the World Cup, you know. Yeah. And
so that must give you a sense of comfort then, to know that you're not talking to guys who said, well, I couldn't quite get back, but here's my advice, best of luck with it, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. And if I look hard enough, there's a million cases of guys who haven't came back, but all you need is to find yourself two or three case studies. And you know, myself, and I think most athletes and GA people, you know, are willing to put in the hard work if there's light at the end of the tunnel. So that doesn't scare me. And it's a bit like the Roger Bannister, like once you have somebody who has ran a 4-minute mile, everybody starts doing it. So yeah. I have my case studies. Nobody is saying no at the moment, Joe. And that's the main thing, you know, and just to keep positive and keep the mindset right and look forward to the journey and look forward to getting back into the Mayo jersey.
Yeah, no doubt, because I guess if you focus on the millions of examples, to use your phrase, of lads who didn't quite come back or couldn't quite make it back the same way, then it would be a long 6 months and there'll be a lot of time stewing inside your own head. So it's really good that you have that attitude, that you're going to focus on what is possible. And when you say that the doctors thus far have told you there's no reason why you might not come back, and I promise this is the last negative question I'll ask you about the future, but in terms of the biggest hurdle or the biggest pitfall, is it that potentially you might just lose too much pace, you mightn't be able to turn on a sixpence anymore, you might just not be able to train as hard as you need to train to get to required fitness levels? Is there a big pitfall in particular that you're looking out for?
No, I suppose the main thing at the moment is I haven't yet finished all my surgery.
Yeah.
So I'm not asking those questions yet. And, you know, with every surgery comes complications and comes. So, you know, I have to keep my expectations and everything just down at the moment. And, you know, surgeons and specialists don't want to hear those questions because we haven't the work done. Mm. You know, if they can stand over it and say, okay, Tom, we've went in, we've repaired all your ligaments, place them with your hamstring or your donor or an artificial ligament. Now structurally they're in place. It's for the body to adapt and use them. Let's go. Then I can ask those questions. But I'm just conscious that, you know, not to try and jump steps here. And you know, my wife, she'll put me in line and she'll say, Tom, don't even ask those questions yet. Let's just get over this week. Let's get over this month. Get over this for surgery. And then we'll look down the line. And it's like everything, Joe. It's like any competition, National League or All-Ireland or whatever. You can't go looking what the end picture is like because there's a lot of work to get there. It's just those small steps in between.
What's your memory of the incident itself, Tom? Because it was so innocuous.
Yeah, it was. It was just another tackle. It was, you know, sometimes the highest risk is maybe, you know, four guys competing for a ball in the middle of the field and you're jumping off one leg and there's a lot of bodies and you could come down and do an injury. But this was a one-on-one tackle, you know, and I just remember getting over, I think it was the young Galway player, Owen Kern, and I just was tackling him and I was leaning over him and he was kind of bent. I just remember my leg being in in trouble. I just remember being in trouble and trying to get that leg out, and then the next time his weight shifted one way, my weight shifted the other way, and I was flat in my back and got a glimpse of what was on the floor, you know. So that was tough. So I do remember it.
When you say a glimpse, that suggests you looked down, saw the picture, and looked quickly the hell away again.
I looked down and went in, an absolute credit to my teammate Aidan O'Shea. Like, within seconds, he had his paw on my forehead and pushed my head back and said, "Tom, relax, don't look at it." And I just seen him waving in the medical team. So I'm so blessed, Joe, that I honestly, I'm sure these injuries have happened to people in car accidents or bike accidents. It's a lonely place, like, but I had such a good medical team around me with, you know, my team doctor and my team physio and my wife and everyone in the hospital who were so professional and had this calming presence. Because it's one thing pain, and it's one thing having an injury in front of you that you know looks horrific.
Yes.
But if you see panic in people's eyes, and you see panic in your teammate or in your doctor or your even your wife or your partner or your family, that will just, you know, make things a whole lot worse.
Yeah, it's contagious.
It's contagious, exactly. And I never felt that. And, you know, just absolute massive credit to how professional everybody was.
And did Aidan say anything else to you when the team are coming in? Like, it's amazing that he was calm. Although in some respects, I guess when he says, "Don't look at it," you know, it's bad. But do you remember anything else that was said to you even on the pitch in those immediate moments afterwards?
Yeah, I suppose my physio, Martin McIntyre, was just keeping eye contact with me.
Right. You know,
focus on your breathing. And I suppose a lot of the things that people were doing was just trying to distract my mind and just get me focusing on my breathing. Mm. And that's exactly what you do, you know. But I suppose it was nearly treating somebody with panic as well, as pain and, you know, fair play to them.
I presume on some level you must have went into shock. Certainly your body was. I don't know mentally how quickly shock quicks in, shock kicks in, but whatever about the adrenaline and everything that would have started pumping through your physical body, mentally I'd say you were in some kind of shock as well, because you just, like, we all see these injuries, you know. I think we all remember seeing Henrik Larsson for the first time and thinking, "Oh my God, I didn't know a leg could quite do that." And I guess you just never think in a million years it's actually going to happen to you.
No, yeah, and I'm the exact same, Joe. I get these, we're all in WhatsApp groups or in groups, and a video or a picture will come in and I'd be the first to look at it. You never think it'll be you. And, you know, the experience, the big thing, the pain was just something that I just can't get my head around. Because, you know, we all get in a physio table, we all get a deep tissue massage, and be asked, out of 10, what the pain there? Mm. And I'd be first to say, "Oh, that's 8 or 9 out of 10. But I did. Now I understand what 10 is. You know, this was just excruciating. And I suppose.
And what's it like? I mean, there's different. You know, we've all had that deep tissue, and that's very specific, kind of uncomfortable, and sometimes there's a dull throbbing pain or a broken arm. Like, is it a sharp pain, or is it just? Is there any way to even attempt to describe it?
Yeah, I'm not even going to go there, you know. It was just tough. But like again, you know, it was short term, you know, and it was temporary. And you know, like, there must be people in injury, you know, who have accidents or are in pain for, you know, hours, you know. And that wasn't the case. Like, the guys had me under general anesthetic and the leg put back in within 90 minutes or something like that.
Right, okay. So, and is that's ease then? You're fine, you're kind of okay then?
Once it went back in, my pain was down to 2 out of 10,
okay.
3 out of 10.
Okay, but
and
what,
I knew that. I knew, I said, oh, I just, you know, when you know that when something, my fingers have often dislocated,
yeah.
I know you get instant relief once they're back in place.
Yes, but while it was out, your body was screaming at you that this thing is still out.
Just screaming at you, yeah. Just screaming at you.
Have you looked at the pictures that would have gone around about you?
I have looked at the picture. I didn't initially, but I needed to look at it to just understand, I suppose, the mechanics of it and how it happened, so that I could understand what ligaments went and why they went.
Mm-hmm.
So I and it was a nice looking minute. And I haven't looked at the video, and I've no grow to look at the video, and I'm not going to look backwards, and I'll look forward from here on in, because I think everyone can appreciate it. It's traumatic enough, and it's not nice to look at. But from a pure rehab perspective, I just needed to get my head around exactly what happened.
What happened.
And understand it,
and
that's why I looked. That's why I looked at the picture. For no other reason.
You're a hugely admired footballer, and people know you're a great guy as well. And that added to people's sense of upset for you, and a sense of, oh God, Tom Parsons is such a really good, dependable, likable footballer, and you know he's come back from other setbacks in his career to really nail down a place in this Mayo team, and he's in a really good space from a football point of view. Now I think all of that combined with the horrific nature of the injury to this kind of outpouring across Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, I presume it's continued, but you must have been struck by the outpouring.
Yeah, I was, and I've just no words. I mean, the support and best wishes has just been immense, you know, and just the spread, like, and you know your family's going to be there. My family is amazing. My friends, my wife, all amazing. My teammates, you know, by my bed, you know, Andy Moran called down yesterday for lunch, came down from Mayo, like. But, like, the whole GAA community, guys who we've tortured each other on the field, Dublin players, Galway players, you know, hurlers, like, GA people dropping me thousands of messages, and I'll be honest, Joe, I've read every single message, and it does help. It gives you this kind of strength and just this bit of willpower to say, oh, this is, you know, support and goodwill is huge. And we're so subjected to, I suppose, criticism in sports sometimes, and, you know, critique in players and everything, but like, this, you know, the support I received was magic, and I really am thankful to everyone who just, you know, just said speedy recovery, or who sent me an essay of a message, because I honestly have digested all of that, and you know, it'll be in 4 months' time that when I'm low and I need some inspiration to think, oh, this 6 hours of rehab worth it? I know I'm going to go back to those messages. And sometimes as a player, like, you go from game to game, and no one really expresses appreciation of you, or
correct,
you don't really know, do people actually think you work hard and you're a good guy, and until maybe you retire or something severe like this happens. So and it is so true, because this was, you know, there's loads of players. This happened to so many players. They would have got the same support and goodwill. And I suppose the message to other players is just to know how, you know, and how much people do value players and the GA and the community and what players do. And it has been overwhelming, Joe. I will hold it close to my heart, and it's given me great encouragement.
Oh, that's great to hear. I mean, that's brilliant. I'm sure people who got in touch with you will be delighted to hear that it did give you a bit of a cuddle through Wi-Fi and through the internet. We often have that cliche when you guys are out there that you know, look, these lads have work or college on a Monday. I certainly suspect you weren't back at college or work, or I'm not too sure where you are in your life now, Monday to Friday. But whatever it is, you weren't doing it on that Monday. What impact has it had on your life beyond just football?
Yeah, I suppose I'm really lucky. My employer, Jacobs Engineering, they're just a really supportive employer. And again, similar to GA folk, I have had so many supportive messages from them. And they're a big engineering company, and you know, they will offer support in that regard. And you know, there's other aspects of my life where it will be challenging, but it also is an opportunity for me too, Joe, to maybe spend a little bit more time with family.
Sure.
Maybe reach out to friends who, you know, I've friends that don't play GAA at all, like, and you know, there's always opportunities in it. And like, okay, I'm going to be out of work. I have a lot of time where I'm doing these exercises, where I have my leg hooked up to a machine, and there's opportunities there to read, maybe do personal development, maybe do an online course, or so, you know, with every setback or obstacle or whatever, there is opportunities, and I'm a big believer in that. And you know, so it can have a positive. This can have a positive effect on other aspects of my life. I believe that.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm suddenly realizing in a big way how you bounced back from being cut from the Mayo squad years ago to becoming such an important part of it again. The mental strength is unbelievable. And not to minimise how difficult it's going to be, it's great to hear you're in the place that you are mentally and you've really thought through the next couple of months. So all we can do is wish you the very best, and we might check in at some stage that you're choosing, and hopefully things are progressing the way you'd like, Tom.
Absolutely, and I really enjoy talking to you. Thanks, Joe.
GAA on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.